Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy and I'm a career consultant here in DCU Careers Service. Today, as part of our spotlight on employers attending DCU's Virtual Careers Fair, which takes place on October the 15th, is Shannon Conroy, who is Associate Talent Acquisition with Medtronic. So Shannon, you're very, very welcome to the podcast show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Delighted to be here. Virtually.
Yeah, no, it's great. And it's great that we can actually kind of remote in even on a podcast. So it has been a life changer thing for us, you know, doing the podcast show. So it really makes an awful difference. So just might start off with yourself, Shannon. Can you tell us a little bit about Medtronic?
Yeah, of course. So I suppose we're a multinational company and we're in the medical device sector. So I suppose our four main business groups, without getting too technical, is our cardiac and vascular group. We have our diabetes group, our minimally invasive therapies group, and our restorative therapies group. So they're kind of our four main business groups. From a global perspective, so our CAO is Jeff Martha, so he's based in our headquarters in Minneapolis. We have over 90,000 employees across 150 different countries. And then if we talk about Ireland more specifically, so we have three manufacturing sites in Ireland, and we have two in Galway, so one in Review, so that would be the site where the ventilators are being made, so you would hear a lot about that on the news. Then we have our Parkmore site, and we also have a site in Athlone, and then we have one commercial office in Dublin as well. So that's kind of Medtronic in a nutshell from both a global perspective and Ireland perspective.
And I suppose I'm not going to miss the opportunity to talk a little bit about the ventilators. I think Medtronic have been, you know, really have come to the fore in that space. Do you mind sharing a little bit more about that or anything you can share with us about that?
Yeah, so I suppose it probably started back in March, so it would have had an impact on myself, on my team from a talent acquisition perspective. Obviously, when the demand gets bigger, you need a bigger workforce. So we've been very busy kind of building the team for Review down there. It's been great, though, you know, building up the site to make the ventilators, and they've reached their targets that they've set. I got a lovely package in the post yesterday. They're calling it the drive for five, so it was to thank everyone involved, which is lovely. But yeah, the site's getting on really well, and all the new employees and existing employees too, so it was great to be a part of that project as well, both from my perspective and everyone who's actually working on the ventilators too.
Yeah, it must be highly motivating to, you know, to work on a project that is so critical, you know, like ventilators are always critical, we all understand that. But for it to be so critical for this particular virus, you know, and to...
You're working in direct response to the virus, helping to save lives. So yeah, exactly. Very, very motivating and very rewarding as well.
Yeah. And I presume going all over the world, you know, these ventilators are going everywhere. You know, probably, probably parts of the world nobody knew existed, I'm sure, you know. You know, where's that?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'm sure the packaging department were looking up, oh God, where the hell is that? You know, so that's fantastic, isn't it? You know,
So they're very busy, but they're getting on really well.
Yeah, and I suppose that is the important thing around, say, such a firm like Medtronic is to get very connected, or, you know, to what you're actually doing and what the products are, and, you know, the difference it makes to people's lives, you know, the patient or whatever may not necessarily be in front of you. But,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And, you know, we have kind of our Inside Medtronic homepage, and we always have kind of the patient, you know, stories on it and videos. So it's great to be able to see those, to see, you know, the direct impact, you know, your work has on these people's lives. You know, it's quality begins with me. So every role in Medtronic has a direct impact on these products and on patients.
Oh, that's brilliant. So we just might go into, say, so that's kind of the update on Medtronic, how it stands now. What can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the typical graduate roles that Medtronic generally hire, you know, college students straight from their studies?
Yeah, of course. So I suppose we recruit across all functions. And so I suppose the unique thing about us is we kind of recruit based on the needs of the business. So we don't exactly recruit, you know, we don't have a recruitment drive in October for the following June. We just recruit as the need comes up. So we would recruit across, you know, research and development, quality, finance, HR, IT, and engineering. And that's across all the three sites. Our two kind of most recent graduate programs would be our engineering and quality intern program. So they're 18 months in duration. So you would rotate then within that function. So if you're an engineering graduate, you move into that space, but you move around the function and you rotate in the 18 months, which is great because you get a really well-grounded you know, experience of the function of the company as well, which is really important for graduates, you know, when coming out, because you might have done biomedical engineering, but you might know exactly what area, you know, you want to work in or what space. So it's great to get that experience of both the company and the functions as well.
Yeah, and I'm kind of interested to see that, you know, you hire graduates across both, you know, the direct direct operation side, but also on the professional services side of your business, you know, the support services there. Because, you know, sometimes people, when they think about a firm such as Medtronic, they might be only thinking of, the core disciplines such as engineering and IT and so on. But to do the wider business functions, you know, there is actually graduate opportunities there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in finance. So we have kind of a growing COE here in Galway. So there's opportunities in the finance space. And we have our HR department as well. And we have the IT. And we also have regulatory affairs. So there's roles in that space as well. So it's good. We have a diverse range of graduate roles. I suppose the important thing in terms of being able to see them is that you're signed up to our job alerts on the careers portal. So as I said, we don't advertise at certain times of the year. So it's really important for people who want to work in Medtronic to make sure they're signed up to these alerts so they don't miss the opportunity. Because we would advertise typically for 10 days. You know, we get a lot of applicants, so we generally wouldn't reopen. So in order for people not to miss them, it's really important that they're signed up to the job alert. And you can get them daily, weekly or monthly, whichever you choose.
So what I'm hearing from you then is that for students, DCU students attending the virtual careers fair, if they're any way interested at all in Medtronics and what they do, maybe book an appointment, go into the drop-in room, find out, you know, kind of get a sense of what they're about and kind of be getting into kind of an understanding of the fit, sign up to, you know, what's your sign up for Medtronics? What's your landing page for the sign up there?
Yeah, so I'm going to be there myself, and we have someone there from finance, and we have someone there from engineering, and we're also going to have someone there from quality as well. So yeah, it'd be a really good opportunity, you know, to meet with either myself on any recruitment or graduate queries or tips and tricks, and then as well, you know, with the guys on the floor, the guys in finance, to understand what that COE, you know, really does and what the intern program would look like. So yeah, very good opportunity to get some one-to-one time there.
And then sign up to your own careers portal on Medtronic, and then they can kind of sign up for the alerts. And as you said, there is a short window, a focused window, we'll call it a focused window rather than a short window, to, you know, apply. So just doing that background research now could be very, very useful. So the minute then that something comes on stream, you have an opportunity then to apply for those particular roles if the timelines are in keeping with completing your studies.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously,
and so even on. Before people finish, you know, it's good to even see, you know, the roles that are coming up and maybe what the job description looks like and what the job entails. You know, it's good even in your final year to be very conscious of that, you know, and see what the roles entail, like I said, and the minimum requirements and things like that. It's good to be tuned into that kind of for your final year of college. Yeah,
it's a really good tip, because I often say to people, listen, if you can't even apply for things now, just start collecting job descriptions, because there is a kind of a pattern that kind of emerges within the firm. A pattern emerges within that type of role, and a pattern kind of comes across that kind of industry. So it's kind of like, obviously there's nuances to the role and there's nuances to the company, but you do learn a lot just even kind of unpacking those job descriptions, and you can kind of start saying, well, there's certainly core things that no matter what company I go into in this field, they all seem to be seeking these particular qualities or talents or abilities. Yeah. So they're the sort of things I need to be kind of maybe punching out, you know, on my application. And things like that.
I know in graduate recruitment, you know, everyone applies probably to a lot of roles, understandably, you know, because they want a job after their degree. Now for CVs, it's not really one size fits all, so absolutely you can be gathering job specs and you can be looking at kind of the core qualities and base your CV around that. But I would advise, you know, when you're going for graduate roles, as I said, it's very high competition. You know, there's a lot of graduates every year looking for graduate roles. So I really would try and, yes, of course, have a base CV. But when you are applying to, you know, certain roles in certain companies, really do try and tailor your CV to that role, but also to that company, because that's what stands out. You know, we're like, okay, you know, this person has really read the job description. They know about the company. I can tell through their CV. So to make sure your CV shines through, you know, just to to be on top of all that competition.
Yeah,
in terms of graduate roles.
And then the research can start now. There's obviously listen to this podcast episode. There's your own social media engagement. It's coming to the virtual fair. So, you know, inch by inch, mile by mile, you're actually starting to gather up your research. So the tailoring then should be just the next tipping point. Yeah, a little bit of final research, you know, to make it more pointed. But having that background, you know, building up that background throughout the year will really benefit. So that's actually fantastic. So can you explain maybe a little bit more about your application and selection process there?
Yeah, of course. So, as I said, we advertise on our own careers portal, and we advertise through LinkedIn as well. So it's good to either, you know, link up with myself or any of the Medtronic recruiters on LinkedIn to see the opportunities. You can send me an invite. I love to see graduates trying to connect with me. We advertise for 10 days. So you'd apply through our application system. So that would involve filling out a general application just with kind of, you know, your core details, but then also submitting your CV. So that goes back to just, you know, what I was saying there, to obviously try and tailor your CV as much to the role you've applied for as possible. So then I would review the CVs. So kind of, you know, the minimum requirements for the graduate roles would be, you know, that you have your degree. I mean, that's the basic requirement. So a good tip would be, you know, have your education at the top of your CV. You know, don't have your work experience first, because, you know, when I'm scrolling through so many, it's the first thing I'm going to look for. So it's good that I can just see it. Okay, yep, straight away, you know, they're going to graduate this year. They graduated last year. So, you know, straight through to hiring manager screen. So,
No, you're all right. The application form, is there kind of open-ended questions on the, like, you know, why Medtronic, or, you know, why do you, you know, what will you bring to the role, or, you know, is there any open questions on the application or at that stage, or is that all left to interview?
No, the application is kind of just filling out your core details.
It's like biography type stuff, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And sorry, I just remember what I was going to say there. It's the dates. So okay. When you are putting down your degree, make sure you have the dates there as well. You know, because if I don't know when you're graduating, or if you've graduated, you know, for all I know, you could be graduating in 2 years. You know, I need that information. So it's very important to have the dates there, and in chronological order as well. So you'd have, you know, your most recent up the top, and then whatever below it. And then the same with the work experience. So again, chronological order. I would try and keep the CVs to 2 pages. Personally, for me as a recruiter, I wouldn't require a cover letter. A CV plus the application would suffice for us. So then it would go on to the hiring managers. So they would obviously screen the CVs then, you know, based on the job requirements, based on any, you know, experience you have, any extracurricular activities. And then, but just to be clear, you know, the basic requirement for the role is that you have your degree. And so anything else after that, that is a plus. So once we have everyone screened down for interview, and so obviously now due to the COVID-19, all our interviews are over Zoom, and so they're all over that. They used to be in person, obviously, and people would travel down to Medtronic, so it's probably easier, and actually probably for this college in particular, if you're based in Dublin, it's probably easier that you can do it over Zoom, so you can avoid the traveling up and down. They've been working well, and it's kind of everyone getting used to the technology from both sides, both from the company side and then also the students. But I think it is really good experience, you know, even to be doing interviews over Zoom, because when you go into the workplace, everything now is over Zoom. But even previously, you know, if you're working with people in different countries, you would be using Zoom, or you'd be using Skype or one of those as well. So the interviews are typically about 20 minutes long. So they would just consist of competency-based questions. So, you know, tell me about a time you worked well as a team. Tell me about a time, you know, you communicated with a team member to complete a project, things like that. So them type of questions are best answered using the STAR model. So I'm not sure.
Well, they'll be very aware, which we talk about a lot, but we'll go through it again.
Yeah, so you're all aware of the STAR model. I remember when I was in 4th year, it was all about the STAR model, but it really is the best way to.
It is, and there has been nothing better. Now, I love the second R sometimes, and just for the listeners, so just repeat it, it's never any harm, no matter what stage of the career process you are when you're making applications. Even if you're near ready to retire at this stage, the STAR model is always useful. Is you're outlining the situation, the task, the action, and the result. And what I was talking about, the second door there would be reflection, you know, on reflection. Yes. You know, now there's not always a reflective moment, if that makes sense, but where there is, I would say use it.
Yeah, like a lessons learned. And, you know, some people, they do great on a situation task action, and then they might forget the results. So, the R at the end is very important, as is the reflective piece, if you have one.
Yeah.
And then it's important as well when you're talking about, especially, you know, how you worked well in a team, you know, to use I and not we. It can be nearly out of habit, you know, we did this, we did that, but we want to hear about, you know, what you did and
your contribution to the team.
Exactly. And to the project. So that's kind of just important to try and be conscious of. So then after the interview, so then the hiring managers will meet and kind of review how the interviews went. And then there'd be a second round interview as well. So that would generally be with, you know, different interviewers as well. It wouldn't be the same. So similar again, it'd be different questions, but the same format. So it would be, you know, competency based questions. And then just a tip in terms of, you know, if always know a bit about the company going in. I mean, it's kind of, I actually think it's a very hard question to answer, because you don't want to sound like a robot who's just read off, you know, you're regurgitating what you found on the website, you know, which is obviously where you're going to go for the information. But kind of in terms of answering that question, you're just trying to know a high level overview about the company, you know, maybe about the sites in Ireland, maybe about kind of, you know, the headquarters in Minneapolis. And if you've heard something, like now a good example would be, you know, I know, you know, the ventilators has been a big project, something that's kind of current and recent. It is a hard question to answer. You know, you don't want to sound like you're just regurgitating.
I'm glad you said that's a hard question, because, you know, it is a simple, but it's more complex, because like nowadays you can log on to a website, but, you know, you do want to show, you know, a little bit more, and you're actually curious about them more than the high. So I think, say, as you said, something, you know, more nuanced, or, you know, touching into, say, something like the ventilator story obviously is huge, and it did make national news and things like that. But sometimes if you have a look, just another tip for students, no matter what role anybody's going for, is have a look around the website and maybe just have that honest conversation and kind of say, well, what strikes you about what they do? If that makes sense. It could be even only a small aspect of the job, if that makes sense to you, or of the, you know, of the organization. Kind of, you know, when I was researching, I was very, you know, was very taken with the, you know, the big things about what Medtronic do, but I actually noticed that you do X, Y, Z, and I never knew that about you, and that very much struck me, as I'm very curious about it. It's something that I never knew about you. You know, something to just to kind of, you're just showing your personal connection, if that makes sense. And I think no matter what role you're going for, that if you're interested in it at all, you know, you will have those curiosity moments, and that you kind of go, oh, I didn't know that about them. That's so interesting. Do you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you can keep it general. You know, you're not going to go, how many ventilators did you make last week? You
know, I know.
Put the interviewer on the spot. So you just, exactly, you just show your interest, you know, show that you have, you know, looked up the company. But yeah, I personally do think it seems like the most obvious question, but it can be a hard question to answer in a natural, you know, manner. So you're
it's
not
unrehearsed. It's funny you should ask me that. I never thought you'd ask me that. Let me tell you my story. We all have those.
Oh my God, I can't believe. Yeah.
Oh God, it never ends, the interview. It's really, it's hard. It's always, you know, it's always a little bit sticky. Yeah. But I think the interviewers appreciate that, because every interviewer has been interviewed several times in their own lives before. And they do recognise that. That is a little bit.
Exactly, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the main thing we're looking for is, you know, a positive attitude, and, you know, why you want to work in Medtronic. You know, so if you're asked the question, you know, why do you want this job? You know, make sure that answer is to do with the company, to do with the job, not, oh, you know, I like Galway, so I'm going to move down here. You know, something that's more kind of personal and really relatable to the job is important. That's a very important question that sometimes people, it's probably coming towards the end of the interview, you know, they're kind of relaxed and they're kind of in the flow of it, and then, you know, but that question is key. So you know I read the job description, I'm really, you know, attracted to the tasks, or I've always heard about Medtronic, I've always wanted to work in medical device, things like that. You know, associate yourself with the industry and the company and the job description as well.
And just for the listeners as well, is that it's always to remember that, you know, the interview panel are looking for evidence as to why they should hire you. And they're always looking for how you can contribute to the organisation, and no matter what role it is, no matter what stage of life, the interviewers are trying to, the employer, no matter who it is trying to establish what can you do, what will you do, and why do you want to work for their particular organisation. And every stage of the application and selection process is always geared about those three fundamental questions. So when you're preparing for your interview, and you record maybe a sample one on your voice memo on your phone, even record a video of yourself and ask yourself these questions and review your own videos and kind of say, evaluate or get a friend or somebody to evaluate with you. And, ask your little reviewer to kind of listen out. Yeah. Are you communicating that can do, will do, and why that company? It doesn't have to be like hard hitting, but listen out for, are those three things being communicated effectively?
Yeah, exactly. It is very good to practice as well, definitely.
Oh, definitely practice. Oh, and I always say, and we're good about interviews as well. Practice, and it can be hard to practice and can often be a short turnaround, between being notified, and whatever. And there is always that little bit of a challenge there with that. But the more times you practice, the more times you automate the simpler questions. So it leaves,
you get more comfortable with them. Yeah, exactly.
And then it leaves the brain freer to deal with maybe the questions you hadn't prepared or not prepared for as well. Does that make more sense to you? So your brain is drained, so it gets on top of the questions you pretty well know is going to come up. So there's a two-stage interview process with Medtronic.
Exactly.
And what happens then? Is it an offer after the second interview?
After the second interview, it's a medical reference and qualification check. So the medical is with our OCHealth centre, so that's over the phone, which is great. So we used to have to, people had to come down, travel to our OCHealth on site. So that's actually over the phone now, which is great as well, because we used to get feedback from especially people who were in our co-op recruitment process. Trying to come down as well for that, especially if you're not, close to the area. So that's great that's over the phone as well. The references, so that would just be to supply us with two referees and their email contact that we can reach out to. It's important that you obviously let them know that we'll be in touch with them, so they can get them back to us as fast as they can. You give them the heads up. And then qualifications is just to send on, your transcripts or your most recent degree as well. So that's kind of a formality at that stage. And then, hopefully when you've passed all that, it would be the offer then. So we've done a lot of work on onboarding for virtual starts. So we have created this kind of starter pack. So, everyone who starts Medtronic would get kind of a welcome pack, but this one is really geared towards early careers. So we have kind of co-op and the interns and also, tips for working remotely, because a lot of our roles now, our interns are actually working remotely. There are a few on site, but most are actually working from home, so we completely understand that starting a new role as a graduate from home can be, quite daunting. And you're just getting your laptop shipped out to you.
It's so different, isn't it?
From the first day. Yeah, so different. And so the pack is really good in terms of, all the contacts for IT, all the contacts for HR, and, tips when you're doing virtual meetings. And we have a segment, like they're personalized to each intern. So it's not just one size fits all. So your manager actually would fill out, meet your team. So you'd have kind of an org chart there, so you're able to see before you start, who's who. And then you would have, an overview of your first 3 months. So what your first 3 months are going to look like. And then just a kind of a high level overview of the entire program. And then you'd also have a buddy as well assigned to you. So you'd have your buddy's name called out to you in that pack. So that's, someone that you can ask, just any sort of questions to, any queries you have, you have them there. Sometimes obviously you can connect with your manager as well, but sometimes it's nice to have, kind of someone maybe at that same level or something like that you can ask. And so that buddy would actually reach out to you before you start. They would make that contact. Now I'm hoping if we have kind of, a lot of interns starting at the same time, that could do kind of a connection call with them as well. And before they start as well, just try to really ease people, you know, into it and not to have any worries or concerns about starting from home, and just to give them as much information and support as possible. And then when they start, you know, that there's support there as well. We'd have monthly meetups, virtual coffee mornings, all this stuff that I'm learning that I would never have even thought of doing last year. Yes, exactly. So it's good. And, you know, we have a lot of philanthropy and park life groups in Medtronic who are doing, you know, quizzes, virtual quizzes every month and things like that. And there's opportunities to get involved for volunteering even virtually now as well. So it's great. Like, it's a very active company in terms of the extracurricular activities, you know, outside of just your day-to-day duties.
That's brilliant. And now, obviously, our students are, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, whatever the phrase you might use, or, you know, are already used to remote, you know, definitely remote learning.
Yeah.
So, you know, even learning about a business and learning to navigate online, you know, they will actually, you know, be quite proficient in that. So, and in some respects, people will be onboarded and virtually, and they know no different. They've never been onboarded any other way. So, you know, but then there is always it is always different, because some of them may have had internships before in the past, so they do know what it's like to be onboarded on site. So it is a different world. But the most important thing is, you know, that Medtronic are progressing and they're hiring, and, you know, it won't always be this way. But, you know, the fact is that there seems to be a lot of effort being made in around the virtual onboarding. And that's very reassuring, you know, to our current final year students who are thinking about their next steps, to know that companies have thought this through, that they're being agile about it, that they're saying, listen, this might work, this group, or we're making it a little bit more tailored, that, you know, that you're kind of moving on with how to make it more seamless. You know, I mean, onboarding, whether you're on site or virtually, you know, it can be, it's always a little bit of a tricky point in a person's career. So
you don't want to overload someone with information, but also you want to give the sufficient information as well. So that was when we
assembling that
pack, you know, I was trying to keep it to a certain page number because I didn't want to, you know, overload people. I wanted it to be more, you know, of a comfort, like, oh, okay, you know, I have this, you know, if you have questions going into it, like, oh my God, what if I can't turn the laptop on? You know, all these worries and things like that, that the pack would hopefully, you know, ease that for them, which I think it does. We've got good positive feedback on it so far.
Brilliant. And I think everyone is very appreciative of that now. That's fantastic to see that, you know, companies like yourself have kind of really got mobilized into that space. And in fairness, I have to say that some of the conversations I've had with other employers, they're definitely, you know, really as supportive in the online virtual workspace and you know, positive about it, and, you know, are seeing the pluses as well as the challenges. And whereas there's pluses, you know, they're obviously be able to make hay out of that, and whereas there's challenges, they're trying to mediate that space and mitigate any challenges people have. So that's as good as anyone's going to get, considering you know, this was not a planned thing. You know, you know, for something like this to, for a company to go so online, or any organization, like even DCU, like all the students going online literally overnight, you know, that would take overnight, generally years of planning. So, and, you know, pros and cons to it, and we'd have ourselves talked in and out of it a million times, so we didn't have that opportunity, and we're all doing okay about it too, you know, so that's good.
It is good.
Yeah, so you have actually really given us really good tips within that, within the whole session there. But if we were to kind of maybe, if you were to pick out your top tips about anyone applying to Medtronic, you know, can you give me a couple there? What would be your key ones that you'd recommend?
Yeah, definitely. I would say for the CVs, definitely try and align with the job description. And definitely during the interview, just be so conscious of, you know, your attitude, the positive attitude, why you want to work in Medtronic, and, you know, related to medical devices, but related to Medtronic also. You know, be really clear that, you know, you want this job. You don't just want any job. You know, you want to work, you want to work in Medtronic. You want to work in medical devices. And so that's really important, and it shines through through the interview. So I would definitely, there might, top two most important, you know, CV aligned with job spec, and just your overall attitude when you're in the interview, you know, why you want to work for Medtronic.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much for your time. I've learned a lot about Medtronic, got a lot of insights about, you know, the company culture there, how they approach things. And I think our listeners will really benefit from that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.